Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 12. The book of Acts, chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, a few verses here, beginning at verse 11. Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they being those on the inside praying, said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Verse 16, now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I want to take our subject from verse 16 and speak on this today, the grace of continuance. Amen. The grace of continuance. It was a time of great persecution in the first decade of the church in the book of Acts. No, I don't mean a group of protesters disrupting a worship service and frightening children with their shouts, but persecution in the sense of executions. Verse 2 in this 12th chapter of Acts tells us that James, the disciple and brother of John, had just been executed in front of a multitude of spectators of Jewish people, and they loved it. They were bloodthirsty. They had tasted blood, so to speak, after having watched Stephen being stoned to death, and now to see the blood of James, that disciple of Jesus whom they had crucified, spilled on the ground, they wanted more. So in an attempt to indulge their thirst and elevate himself even more in their eyes, Herod had the apostle Peter arrested that he might do the same to him. The apostle Peter was placed in prison under the guard of four sets of four soldiers. One set of four for each watch of the night. Two soldiers would be chained to Peter, and two would guard the door. Herod's intention was to bring Peter out after Passover and execute him before another clamoring crowd. But verse 5 tells us that continued prayer was made by the church. And during the night before his execution, during those wee hours of the morning, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, while others kept the door guarded. And the Bible tells us in verse 7 that, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly,' and his chains fell off his hands. The angel said to Peter, 'Gird yourself, tie on your sandals.' So he did, and he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' And so Peter went out and followed that angel and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him." Too often, in fact, most of the time, we judge a person by one word or one deed, which is unfortunate. Life is, and people are, too complex and intricate for that. We ought not to judge a person by one word or one action, but we do. It would be like judging a forest by one rotted tree, or a car maker by one poorly made automobile. Rare is the person who is so filled with purpose, passion, and purity that no matter where you see them or what they do or say, their true character is always shining. That person is real, rare rather. More likely is the person who in his or her greatest moment, they are greater than their true self. And in their worst moment, they are less than their true self. In other words, you see somebody do one thing great and you think, I didn't know they had that in them. Or you see them do one thing wrong or their worst moment and you think, that's not them. So if we're going to judge someone's character, we should not judge them by one rare and unusual act, but rather by common and usual words and deeds. The point is, in a rare and unusual moment of confusion and high intensity of emotions, and in the darkness of night, it's easy for us to judge that disciple Simon Peter for his swift action of pulling a sword and severing the ear of Malchus at that unlawful arrest of Jesus. Or even later that morning before dawn, when Jerusalem was a frenzy at the arrest of Jesus, intentions were high and people were ready to crucify anyone else who was associated with Jesus. It is easy to judge that panic-stricken Simon Peter for his three-time denial of the Lord. On the other hand, we could easily judge the Apostle Peter for his great initiative and his great sermon on the day of Pentecost at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost when 3,000 people were saved at his preaching, or by his faith when walking with John to the church at the appointed time of prayer and seeing a lame man begging for coins and Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And immediately the man's legs became strengthened and he stood walking and leaping, the Bible says. We could judge Peter on the bad, or we could judge him on those couple of good things. But if I want to see something in the Apostle Peter that I can relate to, if I want to know who he really is, rather than looking at those once in a lifetime actions, good or bad, I would rather see how he acts in everyday life. And how he handles the usual day-to-day issues of life and people. And I believe it is summed up in verse 16 of Acts 12 when it says simply, but Peter continued knocking. There are a couple of things about Peter in this situation, this normal, usual situation that morning that we can observe. What began as a very terrible thing, his arrest and pending execution, and then turned into a great miracle, the angel of the Lord appearing in that prison cell, the shackles falling from his hands and feet, the guards not waking, the angel leading the apostle out of the prison and back into the city. What began that way ended in what we have all seen as comical when Rhoda came to the door. And rather than open it to Peter, ran back inside to tell everyone who was praying for his release that he had indeed been released, but and that he was out of prison and standing by the door. Those church members praying for his life to be spared didn't believe it. They didn't believe that their prayers had actually been answered. We've all pictured that scene in our minds as we read those scriptures or heard it preached, and we've laughed at Rhoda and the believers inside the house praying, and rightly so. It is comical. But if we can narrow our focus to what I've already pointed out, that one phrase, but Peter continued knocking, I believe we can find encouragement in the grace of continuance. The first thing I want us to see is the apostle's courage, Peter's courage to continue. Courage to continue. What courage? I'll tell you. It is generally understood that it was during the fourth watch of the night when the angel came to Peter in that prison cell. If it had been the third watch, Luke, the writer of Acts, would not likely have mentioned the four teams of soldiers because the fourth team would never have been there. That's just how the Bible is written. Just like there may have been a fifth team coming to relieve that fourth team, but they're not mentioned because the prisoner was gone and their shift never happened.
So since it was the fourth watch of the night, by the time Peter got to the home of John Mark's mother's house, the dawn was beginning to break over the Judean hills east of Jerusalem. The first footfalls of the early morning risers were beginning to hit the cobblestone streets. The creaking wheels of ox carts rolling to the marketplace were breaking the silence as night turned to day. If it had been the third watch of the night, it would have still been dark, and Peter would have had cover of darkness as he's seeking refuge, knocking on that door. But day was breaking as he was knocking, and at the risk of his own peril, he continued. At the risk of being seen, at the risk of being rearrested, amen, he continued knocking, standing there on that street knocking. If 100 soldiers weren't already on the streets of Jerusalem looking for him, they would be very shortly as the sun rose. And if you're standing on the street knocking on a door, you're going to attract attention. Amen. Realistically, his life was in jeopardy, but he stood there with courage knocking on that door. Peter, who had once been panic-stricken and in agony of fear denied his Lord, was evidently not panic-stricken now. It was a very usual thing to do, a very common thing to do, to knock, and yet it was a courageous thing to do. Far more courageous than that fleeting passion which plucked the sword out of its sheath outside the Garden of Gethsemane. And that courage to continue knocking sprang from the certainty that God was with him, and having saved him from death, would not desert him now. Probably running through his mind was that line from Psalm 138 that says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." Amen. And so with courage, he knocked. The courage to continue may arguably take more courage than one valiant act that gets all the attention. For some, there are rare moments in a life when courage bursts open in a flash of dramatic splendor. When we think of courage, oftentimes we think of someone rescuing a child from a burning car, or a soldier rushing into enemy fire to save his comrade, or any heroic act that will likely be written about and will take up a segment on the evening news. But that kind of courage is thrilling, but not always telling. The truest courage in this life of ours is seldom momentary or spectacular. It moves in the mundane and the usual. It moves in the common. It operates in the home. It operates on the job. It operates in the daily grind of life. Its battlefield is the mind and the heart and the soul and the spirit. Amen. That kind of courage continues to do what is right when the natural impulse is to turn and go with the flow of everyone else. The kind of courage I'm talking about holds to doctrines that others deny. It clings to convictions that others can't live with. It continues to knock and ask and seek when others mock your faith and belief and unanswered prayers. The kind of courage to continue that I'm talking about continues every dull and dreary morning and prays, knowing that God is moving even if you don't feel Him, knowing that God is working even if you can't see Him, knowing that God is near even if you can't seem to find Him. It continues to go out and live for God every day in the face of oppositions and ingratitude and injustices. That's the kind of courage, amen, I'm talking about. Amen. It continues to shut its ears to all the voices of worldliness and pleasures that call you to compromise. It continues to carry the cross daily to follow Christ rather than the easy road of pop Christianity without a cross. Courage is continuing to do the right thing when you don't feel like doing it. Amen. Because there is no courage in surrendering to the whims of this world every day. There is no courage in going with the flow. There is no courage in giving in to the temptations of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Courage is steadfast in continuing. Amen. Anybody can have a great moment in their life and do something wonderful, and those are great and those are good and necessary and needful, and thank God for those times. Thank God for those that, oh, he's a hero, he rescued this person or she did that, and all of that is fine and good, but I'm looking for people with a courage to keep on going, a courage to continue, a courage to keep on living for God, a courage, amen, to keep on seeking God in holiness and righteousness, a courage, amen, to continue in the doctrine when everybody else is denying it. That kind of courage was preeminently true in Jesus Christ. His was the courage of continuance. Amen. No matter what they said, the ridicule, the rebuke, the suffering, he continued knocking. And somebody said, amen. Courage to continue. Amen. The second thing I want us to notice and see in Peter's continued knocking is the fact that he understood what was happening with those praying in the house. He didn't misinterpret their delay or their doubt. If you knock on a door, or you ring the doorbell, and no one comes to the door, but you hear them in the house, or you see the blinds move and you know they're there, you might interpret that to mean that they don't want you in the house. That they don't want to see you or they don't want to talk to you. But Peter didn't misinterpret Rhoda's closing the door on him or the delay in someone coming back to let him in and open it. He understood it perfectly. He understood their actions by his own experience earlier that morning before dawn in that prison cell. That's how we understand people, by our own experiences. Amen. Less than an hour earlier, the apostle had been awakened by an angel, chains broken from his hands, prison doors open without keys, walking out before he finally realized that it was real and he wasn't dreaming. And now the church, in a prayer meeting for him through the night, don't believe that he's at the door and suppose that it's his ghost that Rhoda saw. So Peter instantly understands the situation. He instantly understands the doubt. Amen. That's why he's not indignant or frustrated with them. That's why he didn't walk away from his own experience. He understood them. He understood their hesitation. He understood their doubt. He understood their reluctance to believe at first. But the Bible says, but he continued knocking. What am I trying to say? In our season of sowing, sowing the seed of God's word, sowing in prayer, sowing in worship, sowing in serving, sowing in giving, we must sow with understanding. Amen. Because true compassion for people comes from understanding people. Grace and mercy to people we pray for and want to reach for God comes through understanding them. Not getting frustrated with them. Not writing them off. Not saying, well, they're lost and going to hell and so I'm going to quit. No, no, no. You got to understand them. You got to understand where they're coming from. And so we must understand people's reluctance. We must understand their doubt. We must understand their hesitancy. We must understand their perspective. We must understand where they're coming from. Sowing into their life requires understanding their life. Oh, hallelujah. They may not get it like you got it. They may not know it like you know it, right? They may not believe it like you believe it yet. But you got to keep sowing. You got to understand that.
You got to understand that and keep sowing and keep praying and keep teaching and keep witnessing to them.
When we continue in grace, no matter what, that tells people they're understood. When we continue in mercy, no matter what they say or do, that tells people they're understood. When we continue in kindness, that tells people they are understood. Oh, hallelujah. See this picture in your mind, this scene. The Apostle Peter, again, less than an hour earlier, had been broken free from prison by the angel of the Lord. Prison door opened. Without keys, walked out in a heavenly presence. The Bible says when he got to that iron gate, that large iron gate that led into the city, it opened of its own accord. A morning filled with the miraculous. Literally walking in the Spirit. Just a few moments before, all of this stuff happening. Only to now find himself on a street in front of a humble wooden door that led to a house filled with God's praying people was shut. Unopened by the people. Unopened by the angel. Amen. All of that stuff in the Spirit, all of that miraculous stuff the angel did, Peter witnessed it. He walked in it. He was in the presence of heaven. Amen. Watching these miracles happen, and now he can't get somebody to come to a humble wooden door. Right? No angel to open it, not even people to open it. But he continued knocking. Amen. Because he understood the spiritual and he understood the natural. Amen. He had walked in the Spirit. Doors flying open, and now he's back to the natural, where he continued to knock and wait patiently. But he understood. He understood them because he understood himself. Amen. Sowing, with its suffix ing, is continuing. Amen. It's continuing to sow. It's the continuance of sowing. As I said Sunday a couple of weeks ago, we don't sow once and never sow again. It's sowing, right? Continuance. Amen. And there's grace in continuance. Amen. The third thing that I want to show us, that I want us to see in this instance with the Apostle Peter as I'm coming to a close momentarily, is his consecration. His consecration. As it was with Peter, so it is with us. Consecration is when you come back from that walk, that special walk in the Spirit. When you come out of that miraculous hour in the presence of angels. When God has opened impossible doors. And you're back to normal doors where you continue to knock. Amen. That's consecration. That's the grace of continuance. We have our hours of vision. We have those special times, those special hours of vision and faith where expectation is high. Believing for the miraculous is easy. It's that time of prayer when you're alone with God and you feel heaven near. And you know that God has given you vision. God has given you dreams. God is, and you're not asleep. You're in prayer. We've all had those times. Amen. And you believe that the impossible can happen. You know it can. You feel the touch of God. You feel the anointing in prayer. You feel the presence of the Lord. And you know that heaven is open. And you know that heaven is hearing those prayers. But after that is over,
were back to common streets and common doors. And so what are we to do? Like the Apostle Peter, we continue to knock. Amen. We continue to knock. There's nothing wrong with you. You walked in the Spirit in that hour of prayer, in that time of prayer. You felt the heavenly presence. You know God was giving you visions. You know God was giving you dreams. You know God was speaking. You know God was hearing. Amen? And you knew in that time that God was moving and God was going to be moving. God was able to do anything. But when you come out of that, amen, and you're back on common streets and you're back at common wooden doors, don't stop believing everything God gave you then. Amen. You just keep on keeping on. It's the grace of continuance. Amen. And so our month of 30 days of prayer and fasting may end next Saturday, but our vision of sowing, a season of sowing, and our consecration doesn't. And so, amen, may we carry on in the grace of continuance. Let's stand. May we carry on in the grace of continuance. May we have the courage to continue sowing in prayer and in fasting and in the word and in worship and in serving and in giving and in teaching and in reaching. May we have the courage to continue when family, friends, and co-workers in the world, amen, are pushing you to quit. When everybody's seems to be turning against you. When everybody's denying what you know is true. Amen. May we have the courage to continue. May we have the courage to continue when all temptations from 2025 come knocking on your door, come whispering back in your ear. Let us continue, amen. Let us continue to walk. Let us continue to sow. Let us continue to pray. Oh, hallelujah. And let us continue. Let us continue in understanding when others don't seem to understand you. We must understand the process of sowing, that it takes time. You might think, I'm not seeing results of my prayer. Understand that it takes time. Amen. Understand the people you're praying for, the people you're reaching. Understand where they're coming from. Amen. You may think we're not seeing the harvest of all our outreach efforts yet, but understand that it takes time. And yesterday, another nearly 300 door hangers were placed on doors around Orange Park. Where are they? Are they here this morning? It's all right. Yeah, man, we must continue. We must continue. We must continue. Keep on sowing. Keep on understanding that it takes time. Understand where they're coming from. Understand they probably were taught false doctrine. They were probably taught all kinds of outlandish things. Amen. But just keep on praying and keep on seeking and keep on reaching. Amen. You may say, I'm knocking at the door, but it doesn't seem to be opening. Continue knocking. There's grace and continuance. Amen. We must understand that while God may move surprisingly quick in one situation, He may move frustratingly slowly in the next. But the Bible says, but Peter continued knocking, and so must we. Amen? So must we. The grace of continuance is sowing in patience and consistency and faith, in courage and understanding and consecration. Trusting God for open doors. Trusting God for a harvest in due season. The Apostle Peter would later write, be sober, that is self-controlled. Be vigilant, that is watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast, steadfast in the faith. That is, continuing. Oh, hallelujah. Continue in courage with your adversary on the hunt. your family, friends, the world choosing a different way. Continue. Encourage. Amen. And so I invite us to come to this altar area, this front today. Let us pray for the grace of continuance, to continue knocking, to continue sowing, in courage, in understanding, in consecration. Let's pray for your family. Let's pray for your neighbors. Let's pray for this community. Let's pray for this city. Let's pray for this church. Let's pray for ourselves. God, give us strength to continue. By His grace, I will continue. No matter what the adversary does, no matter what my friends do, no matter what my coworkers say and do, no matter if it seems I'm not getting through, no matter if it seems I'm alone in this, by His grace, I will continue. People you're praying for, people you're trying to reach, things you desire to see happen in your life, Lord, give me the grace to continue.